Jamaica without Allah, how stupid is in that verse? On that we need a whole debate.
So sometimes we do get a little bit delayed, but also inshallah will be some goodness in it also. A few points we want to discuss. The first point, that this knowledge which we are gaining of Quran and Hadith, most of all are becoming Hafiz, Hafiz students?
Hafiz and Alim.
And Alim students. This knowledge which we are getting, what is this knowledge in relation to what other things we call knowledge? What is that? Knowledge was from Allah Ta'ala, right from the beginning, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah Ta'ala taught knowledge, that was knowledge. And asma'a kullaha, knowledge of everything. At that time, knowledge of deen was only about tawheed, oneness of Allah Ta'ala. And more, till Nuh alayhi salam, and even after Nuh alayhi salam, most of the knowledge which Allah taught was of dunya. How to build a house, how to make clothes. In fact, arithmetic, mathematics, Allah Ta'ala taught it to Idris alayhi salam. Otherwise, if we think this our numerals 1, 2, 3 till 0, it's a miracle. A whole lot of things work on it. Man could do nothing without it. This Allah Ta'ala taught it. The wheel, the round wheel, today nothing can move without a wheel. Though things have gone digital and everything, but nothing can move without a wheel. Allah taught the wheel to Idris alayhi salatu wassalam. So that was dunya's. Then as time passed, dunya's knowledge was completed and deeni knowledge was completed and perfected with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there was two types of knowledge. One is deeni knowledge and the other was dunyavi knowledge. Dunyavi knowledge, it carries on. And in our time today, this dunyavi knowledge, commonly we call it Western knowledge. But there's no Western knowledge. That's a misnomer, it's a wrong thing. Even today, what we call and what we think Western knowledge, that was also all from the Islam, Muslim scientists. For example, I'm sure all of you heard of Newton, the great scientist, what they call. At one time, in Pakistan, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Rahmatullah Ali, went and gave da'wat to Dr. Iqbal, the famous Dr. Iqbal. He had become a secretary already of a Qadiani sect. So they were afraid that he'd become a Qadiani, he'd have their beliefs also. So then he was very impressed with Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Rahmatullah Ali, and he thought he's asking a very big question. He spoke about Newton and about the creation of time and measurement of time and all things like that, very abstract ideas. So Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri in one sentence made cut him right down to size, and he realized where he stand. He told everything what Newton had taken was from Sheikh Iraqi, Allama Iraqi. And he added to that a great injustice that he did not take his name. He took everything, his knowledge, but he didn't mention his name, and he put it in the world that Newton did all, and they idolize him like a great scientist, but nothing was his own. Everything he took from Sheikh Iraqi. So the invention of laser was by Ibn Haytham. All modern medicine, as what doctors have got, was by Abu Ali Sina, which in the West they know him as Abbas. So even this is all from what Islam and Muslims gave. However, this carried on. Dunya's knowledge is necessary, but the main knowledge is deen's knowledge. Then about 200-300 years ago, for the first time, dunya's knowledge also went under a great change. What change it went under? Now they secularized it. Secular education. Now we call school education secular education. Some people refer to that as academic education. And madrasa education, I don't know what name. That is academic, then what is that? This is the real, and this is the only education, knowledge of deen. So anyway, the secular education which they have now, today we have secular governments, we have secular education. go and study it if you want to, but it is all that knowledge in which Allah does not, is not in that equation, that without Allah, in other words, clearly it is atheism, that without Allah, whatever happens is a cause and effect, that we are in control of everything. Allah has got no say, na'uzu billah, in all these things, which is totally against reality and truth. And this problem, not only Muslims are facing, Christians also, Jews also, all of them. Their religious education they give importance to, and worldly education is all right to the extent of necessity. But secular education, and today the secularism, all right before it started from the universities coming down to the colleges, to the high schools, primary, now in nursery, and in preschool, Montessori, everywhere is secular education. In other words, we don't know. Our children who are going to pre-primary and are going to Montessori, what? They are being pumped with atheism. We don't realize this. We are happy that our children are going to, what is pre-primary? They're learning ABC, they're coloring in some pictures and that. But from there now, and it's getting worse by the minute, they are teaching them total, not only atheism, but Satanism. And in a very subtle way, the parents don't make it out, they don't realize, those children don't realize. But it's been pumped into the children. And this is the effect. So this is that education. On the other hand, our education is that education, the virtues of it, which are so great. And also we have to understand this. One ustad told his students that one masala you learn of deen, one ayat you learn of the Quran Sharif, one hadith is better than the whole world and what the whole world contains. So the student got very happy. How many ayats a day I'm learning? How many hadith I'm learning? How many masalas I'm learning? I'm gaining so much more, better than the whole world and everything what the world contains. So he was very happy. One day he sent them, not shoe, a sandal, like a beach tong, dopalli, it broke. So he wanted to have it repaired. So he went to the shoemaker, repair the sandal for me. Shoemaker said, okay, how much will you pay me? What will you give me? He said, happily, that I'll teach you one masala, one ayat of the Quran, and to him, more better than the whole world and what it contains. The shoemaker took the sandal and threw it on his face, and told him that I want, in our times, 5 rand, 10 rand, 15 rand, whatever. What I'm going to do with one masala, one ayat? In other words, one ayat had no value to him. One masala had no value to him. 5 rand got value, 10 rand, 50, 20 rand got value to him. So he was confused now. My ustad told me that one masala is better than the whole world. That means everything, all the Mercedes, and all the Rolls Royce, and all the aeroplanes, and the ships, and all the buildings and houses. One masala is better than all that. But yeah, I can't get my one sandal fixed up with one masala. So he was confused. So he told his ustad, the ustad understood. And totally understood what his confusion was. So the ustad took a very valuable stone, gem, diamond, and with an elderly person, responsible person, told him, go back to that shoemaker. And when he asks you what he will pay him, tell him, I'll give you this one stone. So he went, he asked me, how much you'll pay me? He said, I'll give you this one stone. Again, he threw it back on his face. Say, what must I do with the stone? I want 5 rand, 10 rand. Then when he came back, the ustad sent him now to the jeweler in the town with the diamond and told him that you must give the value of this gem, of this diamond. So when the jeweler saw it, he knew the value. He said, nobody can pay for this. Besides the king, nobody got so much money that they can pay for this. Then the ustad explained to that student, it isn't that that masala hasn't got a value. The thing is, the people don't know the value of it. The jeweler didn't, that shoemaker didn't know the value of the diamond also. He doesn't know the value of one masala also. The jeweler knew the value, So those who know the Bible. Similarly, one time, when Nawab Saf was like a king, he invited Maulana Masihullah Saf Rahmatullah Ali to his house for meals to spend the day, make aram, come spend the day by my place. So when he came, he asked one question to Maulana Masihullah when he came and fetched Maulana. He said that, "I see people don't respect the ulama, they don't respect the hafiz. Why is this?" So Hadrat didn't reply to him, kept quiet. When they went to his place, then there was one new worker that he had employed to work. So that worker spoke very rudely and abruptly to the boss. So Maulana Masihullah said, "Is your worker? He's working for you and he speaks so rudely and so abruptly to you." So he said, "He doesn't know who I am. He's a new worker. You don't know. I'm the boss, that I pay his wages. He doesn't know me, who I am." So then Maulana Masihullah asked him, "You got your answer?" He was a wise man, he understood. He said, "Now I understand. The people don't know the value, that's why they don't appreciate. Otherwise, wallah, just the alif of Allah, the whole world cannot pay for it. It is so valuable." There's a famous instance, there was a man who was very, very sinful, only sin in his life. He happened to pass away when his wife was expecting. The baby was still in the stomach, in the womb of the mother. He passed away and he was getting azab in his qabr because of his wrong life. When the child was born and the child came to the age 4 or 5, the mother sent the child to the ustad in the madrasa to go and learn. The ustad told the child, "Read, beta, my child, read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim." And when the child read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, "In the name of Allah, who is most merciful, who is most compassionate and kind," immediately Allah lifted the azab from the father. And the Mufassirin write that Allah Ta'ala, in the words they write, that how can I punish a person under the ground when his son above the ground is saying, "I'm merciful and I'm kind." And this is that end that we have got. My Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Germiston used to say that I've seen many times in his age, he said, I saw that many families, the parents are far from deen, etc. But Allah makes one child come who becomes pious, becomes a hafiz, becomes a ani. And by his barakat, Allah makes that whole family maaf. This knowledge is that knowledge. So there is a very, very great knowledge that we must make qadr, appreciate it. And never ever think that the ones who are going, when I was studying, yeah, I studied here in William Hills, in Benoni. And my friends who were studying with me, those who became doctors, lawyers, engineers, everything. And I decided to become an alim when I was in grade 11, standard 9 those days. Then they told me, "You are stupid, you're making the wrong decision. You should also become a doctor, lawyer, something." But now when I meet them, they all tell me, "You made the right decision. We made the wrong decision." So what you are doing is, wallah, nothing more superior. Also, I finished my schooling, became alim, then I studied at university, then I lectured at Rand Afrikaans University for a few years also. So that life also I've seen. And this life of becoming hafiz, alim, I've seen this life with the same two eyes. Both lives I saw. And if Allah have to give me 10 lives now, 20 lives, I'll just repeat this. I won't even go to grade 1. I won't even learn ABC. Though that's a bit necessary, but even that, your life will pass. Even if you didn't learn ABC, you didn't learn 1, 2, 3, your life will pass. But this knowledge is the main knowledge by which you become a human being. Otherwise, with that long knowledge, you are an animal. It's knowledge that makes you into a human. But that knowledge, you are an animal and it makes you a worse animal. This knowledge, you are an animal, makes you insan. Then makes you Muslim. Then makes you mu'min. Then, wallah, I say, in this world it makes you jannat. You get a life of jannat in this world already with this knowledge here. If we learn it properly. So this is a very, very great. Then, in order to learn it properly, there are certain adab and etiquette. Like you buy a certain, you buy a computer, you buy a new motor car, or for your computer, some new program you are installing. So the thing is, according to dunya standards, very valuable, very beneficial. What won't it do for you? But there's a way to load it on. Your computer also, to operate it, there's a way to do it. If you don't know how to switch it on also. You paid so much for your computer, whole network system you got, but you don't know how to switch it on also. It's useless, it's just lying there. Or you switch it on, but now you don't know which buttons to press. You have to learn. So for this knowledge, wallah, which is the most valuable, the knowledge is valuable, the application of it, that we don't learn. The adab, the etiquette of it. Then you get the benefit. We got the knowledge, you became a hafiz, you become an alim, but we don't know how to switch it on. And we don't know how to bring it into our lives. So we got it, but we don't benefit from it. So that is also a very important thing. A few things, there are many things, but a few things about that is adab, respect. Respect of the Quran Sharif. The knowledge is in the Quran, you learn, you become a hafiz. But without adab, you will not have switched it on. In other words, that benefit is not coming in your life. You'll just know it on your tongue, like parrot fashion. Like many people say, they say it for a different motive. We Allah forgive them and guide them. That becoming half is just parrot fashion, what benefit? But if you go and study it, what they are saying, there's truth in them. That we just becoming parrot fashion half is, and we got that hips, but we're not switching it on that it comes into our lives. Because they don't see the difference in our lives, they say there's no benefit in it. You're just becoming parrot fashion hafiz. They say becoming an alim, na'uzubillah, they say waste of time. Because we become alim, but we haven't become an alim. We got the knowledge of alim. But that ilm which is called deen now, which comes in your life. For example, you know perfectly well how to, all the hadith, the ayats about reciting, about making namaz with concentration and devotion. Not only you know it, but you give a bayan also on it. And you give a very good bayan on concentration, devotion, how you quote the ayats and how you translate it and how you bring some waqiyas, qissas, everything you do. But you, your namaz is not one with concentration and devotion. So you got that knowledge, but you haven't switched it on. It's not in your life. So what? So the people see they no benefit. This person has learned. He's a big alim. He gives so good bayans also, but we don't see any change in his life. For example, anger. So much of anger. You read in the kitabs. You give bayan how harmful anger is. How terrible it is. The illegitimate child of pride. Pride is so bad. And the illegitimate, not the legitimate child. The illegitimate child of pride, anger. So how terrible won't that be? And if you have a child which is illegitimate, which in most cases then is not brought up properly, nobody worries about what bad habits. He's got drug habits. He's got alcoholic habits. He's got all other bad habits. And now what havoc won't he cause in your house, in the society? Like that, anger, what won't it cause? So this is, you got that knowledge, but you didn't switch it on. You didn't bring control of anger. You didn't bring humility, humbleness in you. It will cause havoc in your life. Havoc in the lives of others, in society also. So that is, these adab are very important. Amongst them, one is adab of the Quran Sharif, adab of the Ustad. And adab of the Ustad is not just in front of him, you respect him, but the real adab of the Ustad is behind his back. Many of us behind the back of the Ustad, we speak bad about the Ustad also. If the Ustad punished us, whether he was justified or he was not, perhaps he made a mistake. Somebody else was making a noise, but he knows you, the naughty boy, so he blamed you for that. Or somebody else did something wrong, he knows you always doing, but this time somebody else did it. But he blames you. It was a mistake he made. But now you go and talk bad about the Ustad. And ghibat about the Ustads is a common thing in students. And that does not only make the computer to not to be switched on, you're damaging the computer. Now the knowledge, what you're going to benefit. So this is one thing which we must totally have. Adab of the Ustad Some of us, even in front of him, we haven't gone. We backchat the ustad also. We don't respect him. And the real adab is behind his back. Then you have utmost adab. So much so that if any other student or even our parents get cross, why the ustad gave you a hiding and that? We must tell the parents. No, ustad. Whatever he does, I can't say one word against him. Adab of the Quran Sharif. Touch it, don't touch it without wudu. Don't even try. Those not your faras, but try not to handle the Quran with one hand also, with two hands. Always with respect and adab. When you turn pages, don't just turn pages like this. In Hardoi till now, the Quran Sharif pages, they are taught and they are punished. They just turn the pages carefully. It's the kalam of Allah. You must treat it with utmost respect and adab. So adab of the Quran Sharif also. Adab of the classroom. Sometimes the ustad goes out of the classroom or he comes late, and we know what happens. As soon as the ustad turns his back, what happens in the class? What happens? Nothing. What happened? You tell me, you know. What happens? Big noise. Like a big bang. What noise we start making. Quran Sharifs are open, and there, and we know our big bang noise is vulgar language we start. Some of us, Allah make us maaf, every second word is the F word, and Quran Sharif is open, and we are becoming hafiz, and our language is so bad, and what we start talking. So adab of the classroom also. Then there is much more adab also. Together with that, when we get this knowledge, we must acquire it. If you are acquiring this knowledge with sin in our lives. The example of that is, you have some very respectful guests who are visiting, coming to your house. Now, when you dish out for them, then you're going to take the dog that you got for security outside. And you got a bowl in which you put the food for the dog. And you got a spoon for what you dish out. Now for the visitors, you use that spoon, what you give the dog food. And you use that bowl, which you give the dog food, and you go and give the visitors. How will they feel? So this is Quran Sharif. And when this things that we use, our tongue, when we speak lies, backbite, swear, become angry, and we speak such words that you can't imagine, with that tongue we have to read Quran Sharif. This tongue is even more worse and filthier than the spoon that you dish out for the dog. With this eyes that we are seeing eyes of Quran Sharif. With that eyes we are looking at porn on our cell phones. With that eyes we are looking at the naked, filthy, dirty woman of the street. And then you want to see ayat of the, how can you get the benefit? You will learn, you will become a hafiz, you might be the best hafiz in the class, but your computer you don't switch on, you haven't switched on this knowledge in your life. What benefit can you get from that? So these adab are necessary in order to get the correct knowledge. Keep our tongues pure and clean. And keep our eyes pure and clean. Ears. We are sitting in the class, we are hearing Quran, we reading, we hearing also. Others are reading, we hearing also. And together with that, but the ears are dirty, filthy, polluted. What benefit? So even the pure Quran Sharif, but we have polluted ourselves, cleansed ourselves. So for that also an effort is required. Otherwise carrying on looking at porn, looking at filthy, dirty women, having girlfriends, meeting girlfriends, SMSing girlfriends, etc., or whatever, then we giving the wrong picture of being a hafiz, and we won't get the benefit of it. Hatta yatub, when a person makes tawbah, Allah will give him the benefit, but we don't make tawbah. And these things, don't just take it that, well, we are doing it, we can't give it up, we're just going to carry on. No. Listen to it with the niyat, with what niyat we hear, Allah will give us that benefit. If our niyat is to realize we are doing wrong in all these things, and we correct it, Allah will give you that tawfiq and you'll be able to give it up. But if you feel, no, this is the way of life. What does Maulanas know? They're old fashioned. They don't know nothing what's happening in the world. They're just talking all these things. Then we won't get any benefit. So the adab are also necessary. And then when we get this knowledge, there are other great responsibilities also. One thing which happens very commonly, a very big guna, a sin that takes place when we become hafiz and alims, is that pride comes in. This is a common thing. And especially those who got a good voice, they can read beautifully. And whose tajweed is also very good. Makharij is almost perfect also. And they know the Quran very well also. They are more liable to that the pride comes in them. When you are reading and everyone praises you, and those who can learn a lot, you became hafiz in 6 months. Everyone is praising you. Pride comes into such a... And pride is a killer disease. It will destroy everything. So we have to make effort. You became an alim. You came first in the class. And you knew your ibarat. You could read it without one mistake anywhere. Nobody could pick up a mistake in your ibarat also. Your vocabulary, Arabic vocabulary, so perfect. You know the meaning of every word, from where it's derived also, its meanings in the different babs, etc., in the shades of the... If it goes in this bab, it means this. It goes in this bab, it means all those things, you know. Pride easily comes in that person. And your ustads also praise you. This student, mashallah, he didn't have a student like him. What a student, what a gem of a student. Pride comes. So this also will destroy you. And all that benefit what was in that knowledge, you won't get one bit of it if this pride. And forget the benefit of this knowledge. A person who got one bit of pride, then you won't get the fragrance of Jannah also. The sweet smell of Jannah. And that goes to a journey of 500 years out of Jannah. And you won't even come so near to Jannah, 500 years journey in this world today. And as time is going, more and more transport, everything is going to be more advanced. When the railway, the train, the engine, locomotive, when it was first made and it came to Deoband station for the first time, our great ulama also went to see it. They saw it, how it works, everything. Maulana Shaykh Al-Hind Rahmatullah Ali mentioned at that time, Allah has made this, and he read the ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And يَخْلُقُ فَعْلْ مُضَارِ. Allah will keep on creating, making new things which you people don't know at the moment. Today we know about aeroplane, how fast it goes, jet planes, how fast. But in the future, what planes are transport Allah will make, we don't know. Allah is the maker. So all these things, Allah Ta'ala is making such things which we don't know. So a student who has learned and he has got such knowledge of everything, but pride comes in him, then that person won't get any benefit. The benefit will be in there. You have got a box full of money, but you can't open the safe. You can't use the money. You got millions of rands in your account. Whatever reason, they froze the account. Whatever reason, you forgot your password, you forgot your code, you can't draw a cent from your account. Though you got millions of rands there, but you can't draw 1 cent from there. So this knowledge we got, but if the adab are not there, or even with the adab, afterwards pride came in us, that knowledge will be there, we won't get any benefit. And a student who is not the best of hafiz, he's tajweed and makharij, but he has got adab. He became an alim, he's got adab, he's got respect, qualities. We saw with our eyes, students who studied with us, they gave evidence with their own tongue, and they were the ones who came first in class. But today they say, we are nowhere on the scene. And those students who had adab of the ustads, who won the duas of the ustad, who became the pets of the ustads loved them. Those, Allah Ta'ala took great work of deen from those people. So those are the things that we require. And then the responsibility that comes with this knowledge. The first responsibility is that we must make amal. We must practice upon what we have learned. How many of us in Ramzan, you have madrasa? Or is holiday?
Hifz
carries on. So besides your hifz, how many of us try to make one khatam in Ramzan? Hifz, we are learning to become hafiz. But there's ibadah. And how many ustads who teach Quran Sharif, how much are they reading Quran Sharif? One ustad in Azadgarh, not with the Darulum, but a very good ustad. And he's a master in teaching children and getting them going, getting them on moving. And his tajweed, he's a master in it. One year, about 22nd, Ramzan asked him, Maulana, how many suparas you read? He say, only two. If you are teaching Quran, but you're not reading yourself. The object, this is another thing, a side issue, but I'll just explain it. And that we must not forget the main object. Like for example, you people are young people, besides your daily life, you also want to earn money, you also want to go work, you'll have a family, you want to support your family, all that you'll have to earn. So a person wants to earn money. And why are you earning money? To support yourself. I don't want to be a beggar. I don't want to be a person sleeping on the streets. I want a house for me, for my family. So you have to earn. So you earn. But then what happens in the process in most cases? Now you start earning not for yourself or your family, for the sake of earning. That becomes a hobby to earn. Now you just want money. Now you're taking on two jobs. You're taking on three jobs. Now your object is just to earn money. Now that money was to make your wife comfortable, but you're not using it on your wife. It was to make your children comfortable, you know. Even yourself, you don't want to go to doctor also. You have to take treatment, it's going to cost so much. You got the money, but you don't want to spend. Stinginess comes with this now. That even on yourself, you don't want to spend. All your object is just to make money. So from that example, we can understand that to become a hafiz is to read Quran Sharif. But now you became a hafiz, you make another 200 people hafiz. But you're not reading Quran Sharif yourself. The thing was to read your own Quran, but you're not reading Quran. You became an alim, you became the best alim. And the object of it is to practice on them. But now you're not practicing. You're making other people alim. You put up 10 Darul Ulooms. But you yourself not practicing. The idea is to practice on that knowledge. So this is the other responsibility which we must not forget. So ask ourselves in Ramzan, we got our hifz to see to everything. But Ramzan is a month to read Quran as ibadat for the pleasure of Allah. Do I even read one supara a day, make one khatam? As an alim that I'm learning in Ramzan, we get off to practice now on that what we learn. How many of us practice on that? If we go in Tabligh, for example, Tabligh is to bring people, ourselves first, and the people on to deen. But now we're just doing Tabligh all the time. And deen is not coming in our lives. The effort of deen and deen are two separate things. Making money and using the money for your comfort, that is a separate thing. But we don't do that. We're just now making money, more money, more money. Our God becomes money. Our religion becomes money. Everything criteria is money in everything. So this is, we have a responsibility first to make amal. Then to propagate this. To bring this type of life, a deeni life, speak to other people. Many people say, I can't make bayan. But when you're having a pride, then see what bayan that person makes. He can't stop talking. He's just blabbering all the time. So learn to use our tongue in the right ways. When we sit in, many times we visit our friends, little children come, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, very shy, not talking. And when we're not there in the house, they can't stop talking. They're just talking and talking and talking. And shouting and making a big noise. So everyone has got to propagate this thing. Then teach this thing to other people. When you have became a hafiz, teach it to others also. But don't forget, you must read yourself Quran. You must practice yourself on deen. Your namaz must come correct. Your akhlaq must come correct. propagate it also, teach it also. If we keep these few points in mind, inshallah, we will benefit tremendously. And if we took it as a pastime, that Maulana Bilal, the other ustads, that Maulana is coming, so we'll just have a little program, so a program and finish. If that was the case, then the program happened and it's finished. But if we make the niyyah to learn, to listen and benefit, and to practice, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were such that the Quran Sharif says, Sami'na wa ata'na. We heard and we follow immediately. You make your niyyah now immediately to follow, that person will benefit. Then there were the other people who came, the munafiqeen, and they also should listen, also should sit with the Sahaba. And they were looking like Sahaba, outwardly they were Muslims. But they used to say in their heart, Sami'na wa asayna. We heard and we're not going to do. So we also think in our hearts, if we also said, let Maulana talk what he wants to, let the Ustad say what they want to, we're just going to do what we want to. That's a sign of hypocrisy also. And such a person doesn't benefit. And unfortunately, we have become such that only Sami'na. We don't say Ata'na and we don't say Wa'asayna. We just heard, Sunnata Sunliya Hogya Qissa Khatam. We have to hear, we have finished now, what more, what do you want more from us? We have to go study, read our kitabs, we have to go and learn our sabbaths. All these things, they not for us, that person won't benefit. So Allah give us tawfiq, Allah has blessed us with the greatest thing in the world. Not all the presidents of the world and prime ministers, all the doctors and engineers, all the wealthy people have got absolutely no wealth compared to the wealth which Allah has given us. But make qadr of it and use that wealth. Don't just leave it locked up in the Quran, in the kitabs. Use it, and wallah, one person is made like that, the world looks up with respect to that person. The world falls at the feet of such a person. And what you'll get in akhirat, you cannot imagine. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us these realities. Yeah. Yeah.
We have stages, huh? We have stages, program for students.
Gee, when we have regularly Islami Jalsa, next will be in Azad, well, inshallah, round about February, March next year. Then we have a program for students also. So, youth program. So please try and attend there when you hear of it, inshallah. Mm-hmm. Ahmed, you're going to make dua. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Sami'na wa ata'na wa ikramaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masr. اللهم آنس وحشتنا في قلوبنا اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجتين يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل القرآن ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا ونور أبصارنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وقائدنا وسابقنا إلى جنات النعيم اللهم بديع السماوات والأرض يا ذا الجلال والإكرام نسألك يا الله يا رحمن بجلالك ونور وجهك أن تنور بكتابك أبصارنا وأن تطلق به ألسنتنا وأن تفرج به عن قلوبنا وأن تشرح به صدورنا وأن تستعمل به أبداننا فإنه لا يعيننا على الحق غير ولا يعطيه إلا أنت ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا حلالا طيبا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. الرئاسة من بركة العلاج كم سيلاج
من بركة العلاج؟